There's a good chance that if you've heard a recent newscast here or anywhere else, that you've heard about the sad and scary statistics about opioid addiction. A national problem, a statewide problem, a Western North Carolina problem. This imported edition of WNCW's More to the Story will feature an interview with Alexandria Bordas, who covers social issues and education with the Asheville Citizen-Times. And I'm Paul Foster. Alexandria, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul.
You've recently handled several stories on this subject matter, haven't you? And then a special series will be forthcoming in the near future.
Yes, I came into this just completely shocked with how much it has been overwhelming the counties in Western North Carolina. My editor and I sat down and realized that we had to jump into this narrative as well and start providing more context on a local level.
What do the numbers tell us at this point in 2017 concerning opioids overdoses in North Carolina, and how about what you know for Western North Carolina?
After speaking to so many medical professionals, so many people in social services, so many people on the law enforcement side, unfortunately what we're seeing is a danger that the numbers are only going to get worse. Right now, you have people in Buncombe County that are overdosing and dying at a rate of almost 20 to 25 people per 100,000, which is up from just 5 years ago when it was hovering around 9. These numbers, as much as there's now a nationwide focus on this huge epidemic, unfortunately, the numbers we're going to see only get worse before hopefully there's a downward trend.
You wrote a story that featured a lady by the name of Phyllis Crawford. I saw the online video that was included with the story, and just to say the least, it was very emotional.
Phyllis is a really incredible woman, and the fact that she was so honest and forthright with her son's struggle was really humbling to get to hear as a reporter. And she felt so strongly that her son was killed, that it was not through the death of overdosing from heroin. It was through being sold heroin that was majority fentanyl, and especially carfentanil, which is becoming increasingly scary. And it is starting to be spread, especially in southern states and the Appalachia region. She was very forthright about the fact that her son struggled his entire life with addiction. She never made excuses for her son. But the fact of the matter is, there's a really fine line. Yes, you have addicts on the street that are purchasing heroin, methamphetamine, opioids, anything they can get their hands on. But there's a real dark battle that's going on within the majority of these people, that common people that are not having these terrifying moments of, if we do not feed our addiction, we may die. A user is going out and purchasing something like heroin. They're not going out with a death sentence. They're scared. Their addiction has overwhelmed them. They're aware that their addiction could potentially kill them. Phyllis's son was at this point where his addiction was so deep that he was buying drugs, but of course did not know of this new strain of carfentanil that's been showing up, because it's cheaper to manufacture and it's coming from places such as China and Mexico. And it is thousands and thousands of times stronger than morphine. Even a tiny, tiny milligram of it is enough to completely knock somebody out cold. That's not what her son was going to purchase. He was just trying to get his daily fix. One hit later and all of a sudden, out cold, and he was never, ever to be revived again. What they found in the toxicology report was no heroin. It was all fentanyl and strains of fentanyl. And carfentanil is especially dangerous. It's known as the elephant tranquilizer. It's the street name. That's what police call it. It is designed for veterinarians to treat large animals such as elephants. And that's what's being passed around now. And that's what we're seeing synthesized more often in these drugs. Phyllis and her family are just struggling coming to terms with.
I applaud someone like Phyllis Crawford for stepping out, and hopefully that's going to be of help to someone else. It's something that's meant for the weight of an elephant to knock it out, and that a human being, someone between 100 and 200 pounds at most, mm-hmm. taking something like that. Gosh. This is the WNCW More to the Story for this week, as we speak with the Citizen-Times' Alexandria Bordas about her articles on opioid use. What are some of the reasons behind the epidemic growing like it has?
You go and you speak to medical professionals, because that is, of course, opiates derived from. And you have to look to them first when you're looking at this. And then you speak to them and they say, well, there was this huge push by pharmaceutical companies in the 90s that told us pain is the fifth vital sign. And we need to be treating pain more than we're treating symptoms. We don't want our patients leaving in pain because it's a competitive industry. We want our patients to come back. We want to be recommended. So if we're treating them with opiates, which the pharmaceutical company said they've researched and there's no bad side effects, there's no cause for worry in prescribing, then of course, why wouldn't we prescribe those to our patients that are in severe pain? And of course, there are benefits to opiates. You have people that really struggle with chronic pain, that have go through really massive surgeries, cancer patients. Those are patients that do need to be on regulated doses of opiates. But when you're prescribing for a sprained ankle and you're using opiates to treat that, that's the point it started getting to. You had this wave of people coming in the 90s and then through the early 2000s that were getting overprescribed for very simple things. And you have to look at dentists as well, which I think sometimes we forget. They're dealing with people that are also really afraid. The pain is so much more heightened that dentists were just prescribing as well. They were some of the main perpetrators. Medical doctors got so caught up in this frenzy push by the pharmaceutical company that you have people just like you and I, that before they know it, they're addicted. They change the way you process pain, and then they start changing the way you process your mood swings. These people realized when they stopped trying to take opiates, the withdrawals were so bad and their depression was so bad because it just made them feel so good that they started thinking that other drugs were okay too. Doctors now are starting to try to integrate that more into the dialogue because, unfortunately, it starts with them. Really rural communities and mountain communities are especially vulnerable to this.
I'm glad you brought into that last question the medical community. Let me do ask you briefly about an approach that's being taken by Buncombe County law enforcement. How are they trying to make a difference in their fight?
Buncombe County has been very transparent and very vocal about the fact that they have a severe problem. This huge epidemic in the addiction is causing families to shatter, and it is now doubled the rate of kids in foster care. So you're having kids that are being pulled from home that will test positive for 8 different drugs because they're in an environment where their parents are full-blown users because they cannot fight the sickness anymore. And they're trying to deal with this in a very humanistic way. But then you have law enforcement that's trying to deal with it in a much more iron fist way, which is we want to go, we want to crack down, and we want to clean our streets. But that's very hard to do when this is, you sort of have to look at it as a mental illness at some point. Law enforcement's trying to teach their officers that and their first responders that this is not a criminal situation. It is a health crisis. But at the same time, they're struggling with how do we handle this? They're moving forward to place new plans in place by the end of the year to deal with not only criminally treating this disease, but also humanistically.
Our discussion this week on More to the Story, opioid addiction in particular in Western North Carolina, Alexandria Bordas of the Asheville Citizen Times. The next thing that you'll be doing concerning this is I understand you're going to have a 6-part series coming up in the near future.
Yes, we give a voice to parts of it that may not be highlighted. What we've really chosen to focus on is the most vulnerable population of this epidemic, and that is children.
Again, Alexandria Bordas of the Citizen Times.
Thank you so much, Paul.
More to the stories on WNCW are also available as a podcast. Our website is wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.